The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. They are only 2 weeks away from their opening day of April the 6th. They have a new vintage alert, the 2021 Unoaked Pinot Gris, now available. Easter dinner for two, braised lamb shank, risotto, mustard demi-glace, wild asparagus, preserved lemon with bistro salad, and a bottle of Hillside Pinot Noir. And it's all available for takeout. And you want to check out the Easter six-pack on their website. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. One of the very first, if not the first, Zoom interview that we've done from our Mill Bay studio. I'm delighted to welcome Galen Barnhart, the winemaker at Monte Creek, to the show. How are you? Looking good.
Yeah, thanks, Terry. Yeah, sitting here in my office in our new facility. So just moving into the big space, which is great. And yeah, good to see you. It's been a while.
What's behind you there?
Yeah, so we've got, just give you a little glimpse, but this is our new Gravity Flow winery. So we kind of quickly outgrew our space that we built in 2014. And after about 2 years, we decided we needed more space. And this has been a long awaited construction project that has been going on for about the last 16 months. And we're just starting to get into it, but it's going to expand our production from about 18,000 cases to a total capacity about 45,000-50,000 cases. So yeah, it's a big jump for us.
That's a huge jump. Actually, you know what? Anything yeah. over 10,000 cases is a big jump, right?
Absolutely.
So you no longer are garagist. You have moved on to bigger and better things. And the portfolio has expanded, and we're going to be talking about three of those bottles. There's a couple of things we want to deal with right now, Galen. How are you guys? How did you survive the last couple of years, you as a group, as a team, as an area?
Yeah, no, we're doing really good. I think, you know, we've had a bunch of major changes beyond just the challenges that everyone has faced, you know, just the new facility being constructed, and we've done a whole rebrand as well. So we've been keeping ourselves busy. But, you know, as far as the pandemic goes, I think everyone felt the pinch. It really depended on the winery, and we were a little bit more a bit luckier, I suppose. You know, I think the wineries that were dealing with restaurants primarily probably felt the pinch a bit more than others, but we do a mix of restaurant and liquor store sales, and the liquor store sales really never flagged, and we're still doing a lot of business through our tasting room. So no, we're doing good.
Did people support the winery during the two
years? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've certainly felt it, I think, not just the pandemic, but just what seems to be climate change this past year has certainly had its challenges. I mean, we had a very smoky summer, obviously, last year, which does put a damper on tourism here in the interior. And every winery was feeling that way. But ultimately, you know, we've come out strong, we're feeling, and sales continue to progress, and we still absolutely need this big new space behind me here. So, yeah, we're moving along nicely.
Galen Barnhart, the winemaker at Monte Creek. And how about the Thompson Valley area, just where you are, you and your fellow wineries? Have you lost a winery or two?
No, we're still sitting in the same. You know, it's a pretty boutique little club here. There's just four wineries, and so we haven't. It hasn't been any loss or gain. We've actually expanded our own vineyards a little bit, I think, since you and I last talked. So we've still got 20 acres planted on the north side of the river, and then we've got 55 acres now planted on the south side of the river. So it's a pretty good chunk, actually, and things seem to be moving. Some of the other local wineries are starting to move into a little bit of the cider game and diversifying a little bit. So yeah, no, there's been some progression.
Well, cider's on a roll. Cider's on a roll. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you headed to the Vancouver International Wine Festival?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're excited to get back there. It feels like it's been ages.
It has been ages.
Even just seeing industry phases. Yeah, I know. Well, I think, you know, we're saying it was 2019, the wine festival. And then after that, the world really kind of went to hell, obviously. So yeah, we're eager to get back and showcase some of our new stuff.
And how about the Okanagan Wine Festival? You're going to get up there?
Yeah, we'll always make an appearance there, absolutely, and again, it's just going to be such an exciting thing to be able to see these industry faces and just collaborate. You know, the part that I enjoy of it is just seeing other winemakers that I don't get to see all the time. Being up
Exactly.
here in the Thompson Valley, you know, it's
And
a little bit more isolated than being down in the heart of the Okanagan. So that'd be great.
do a taste around. You can do a taste around. You can taste what everybody else is doing.
Well, of course, yeah, it's part and parcel.
Galen Barnhart is the winemaker at Monte Creek, just outside Kamloops in the Thompson Valley. What are you going to be pouring in Vancouver? You know,
good question. Yeah, I don't know if we've fully decided on our wines, but most likely some of our Thompson Valley stuff. So some of our Pinot Noir, perhaps, and Chardonnay, and then just showcasing some of our Living Land series as well. So we've got a whole range there. So likely some Lac Ressent, which is sort of our orange style wine here in the Thompson Valley. Definitely Riesling, which is always a big part of our portfolio.
Can we show them the logo?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got some bottles here for you if you can see them. So yeah, this is our new logo. So we've got a couple different ones, a little bit different shades. This is called our Living Land series.
Yes.
And then we also have our Ancient Waters series, which is our a little bit more premium tier, small lot wines.
Yeah, let's get a close up on that logo and we can talk about it. Excellent. Okay, so I can see the M for Monte. I can see the C for Creek. I can't see the W.
Crazy. The W doesn't quite make it in. So if you look at the logo, what's happening here is actually the three straight lines. It does like make a bit of an M, but they're also supposed to signify some vineyard rows there.
Sure. Okay.
And then in the base, we've got there's kind of a V shape, which is the valley, and then the sort of U shape underneath is just the Thompson River going underneath. So yeah, it's creative.
See,
you know, in my mind, it always kind of looks like a little bit of a thumbprint.
Let me see the neck, the cap.
Yeah, absolutely. So these ones weren't. This is our new custom cap here. So
nice. That's the one. That's it. Yeah, man, get the logo there. Wonderful. Okay. Eric Fisher, the GM, said, we felt our brand needed an update to better align our vision. What's the vision?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it was due for a little bit of a refresh, I think. You know, the original brand was very much based on the history of the property.
Sure.
That
was a good hook.
It
was a good
hook.
But you had Bill Miner.
No, absolutely. And it told a great story. And you know, we had a lot of positive feedback from here in the interior, but we didn't feel like it necessarily resonated as much in some of the larger markets. And we definitely just felt like the brand here at the winery was starting to move in a new direction. And so there's a lot of people here, key people that are really pushing the sustainability side, the environmental sides, myself included. And we just wanted that new brand to sort of reflect that. So we've got two tiers. We've got our Living Land tier and our Ancient Waters tier. So Living Land, just more referring to the idea that, you know, what we're growing, or the medium in which the vines grow, is not just dirt. It's actual soil, which is a living, breathing thing. And we're trying to respect that at every step.
You know what?
And then the Ancient Waters is more so just a reference to the geologic processes that have shaped those same soils. So whether it's the Thompson River and the glaciers here in the Thompson Valley, or you know, some alluvial soils that we've got down at our Karamias Vineyard, there's all these sort of ancient waterways that created that dynamic.
And none of us were here at that time. This was a long time ago. This took a long time to form. And it's important that you know that, audience, you know that, yes, we're talking about the Thompson Valley, and we're talking about just outside of Kamloops, Monte Creek, but also you have vineyards in the Okanagan, the Similkameen, specific vineyards that you needed specifically to make the wines that you, because you're a cool, well, you're on the edge of cool climate, yeah?
Hmm. Yeah, we are the sort of northern frontier here in the South Thompson. So yeah, we've been purchasing fruit from some key growers that we've had long term relationships in the Okanagan, and then we also own a property right in Karamias, which is it's a pretty large property, about 100 acres, which we've got 40 planted so far, and we're just seeing the first bit of fruit coming off there. And you know, we've got a variety of cool climate hybrids growing here in the South Thompson, and then a lot of Riesling, Pinot Noir, and Chardonnay, and then down in that Karamias site, it's pretty similar, a more Riesling Pinot Chard. It's actually quite a cool site for the Similkameen, and that was very intentional. We just wanted to sort of bring some different blending elements potentially, and also just offer a different dynamic between the two sites, or the two regions, I should say, but within the same varieties.
Galen Barnhart is the winemaker at Monte Creek, just outside Kamloops in the Thompson Valley. Okay, we're going to talk wines, specific wines, in just a second. This is going to be a two-parter.
Sure.
Absolutely. We've got a lot to talk about. I didn't see the Living Land Rosé. Is it coming out? Is it out?
Yes, it is. We did a 2020 Living Land Rosé, and we'll have a 2021, which was bottled February. And as far as release date goes, it'll just kind of depend on when that 2020 goes through.
And there's a sparkling rosé.
There is a sparkling rosé and also a sparkling.
La Crisson, Chardonnay. There's also, I'm thinking about the Living Land whole series there. There's a sparkling rosé, there's a Piquet, there's a Pinot Noir, there's a Foch, Cab Franc, Cab Merlot. Anything else?
I think you've run the gamut there. Yeah, you mentioned the Chardonnay. The La Crisson is a little bit of a different one. We've got that's our skin fermented white, which we ferment a couple weeks, and then it's a super labor intensive process. It's a bit of a pain in my butt, to be honest with you, but it's a labor of love. We press it and take half the skins, take the heads out of old white barrels, put the skins in, add the juice back, leave it for 6 months, and then press it again. So it is a labor of love, but it's an awesome wine.
La Crisson. The Pioneer series, the Bill Miner is still there. The Hands Up Red and
Yep.
White. People like them.
Yeah, exactly. You always want to have some approachable wines that are just your everyday drinkers, right? And yeah, again, we've had a huge amount of positive feedback on those wines, and so they're going to continue to be a part of our portfolio.
Okay. Galen Barnhart is the winemaker at Monte Creek, just outside Kamloops in the Thompson Valley. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the Living Land Riesling, the Living Land Pinot Noir, got it right there, and the Ancient Waters Chardonnay, the much awarded Ancient Waters Chardonnay. We'll tell you about those awards right after this. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. They are only 2 weeks away from their opening day of April the 6th. They have a new vintage alert, the 2021 Unoaked Pinot Gris, now available. Easter dinner for two, braised lamb shank, risotto, mustard demi-glace, wild asparagus, preserved lemon with bistro salad, and a bottle of Hillside Pinot Noir. And it's all available for takeout. And you want to check out the Easter six-pack on their website. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Just a word about Michaela Morris's writing in Decanter Magazine. She called British Columbia's Syrah Canada's rising star and included her top 15 BC Syrah wines to try, including Moon Cursor Syrah 2019 at 90 points. Moon Cursor are delighted to let you know that the tasting room reopens April the 20th. Details at mooncursor.com. Tasting Room Radio. Terry David Mulligan, Galen Barnhart is there. You can find out details on his life, his personal things that he never wanted published on our website, tastingroomradio.com, found at mulliganstew.ca. I spent my last 3 years of high school at NORCAM in Kamloops. My father, because my father was a game warden. And if you're going to be a game warden in British Columbia, you want to go to the Yankee Stadium of being a game warden. And that's in Kamloops, where there's game everywhere. You got to take care of that as well. And so I am always in, I was extremely interested in the fact that wine was being made in that valley. And then just when I thought that I understood what was able to be grown there, along came Monte Creek, and they completely upped the game right from the get-go. An incredible destination. Just make your plans to go there. Simple as that. And Galen Barnhart is the winemaker. We're honored to have him here. The wines that you sent that I wanted to taste, starting with the 2019 Ancient Waters Chard. Have you got a bottle of it there?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Show them that beautiful thing. Oh man, look at that. See, and there's the new logo. All right. Monte Creek Chardonnay. Now, the 2019 Ancient Waters Chardonnay won platinum at the 2021 Wine Align. Double gold. Platinum, by the way, is 1% of 1%. It's just the best of the best. Double gold at 2021 at the All Canadian Wine Championships. 90 points in Decanter World Wine Awards. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, we were really happy with how that wine came together. And you know, it's funny, you never know with wines, because this was kind of a problem child for a little while.
Yeah.
And oftentimes with our Chardonnays, we're aging for about 10 months, and this particular wine just didn't want to finish fermentation. It actually still had a little bit of sugar left in it come springtime, and so it was just going on and on and on. You know, this 6 months fermentation at some point just kind of chewing through the last bit. And so when August came around, we were usually bottling those sort of wines. I just felt like it wasn't ready. It was still just showing a bit of that fermentation character, as we call it. And
Yeah.
so we waited till the following February just to let it all knit together, and it ended up just really coming together beautifully.
How many cases did you make?
About 250, so fairly limited production.
Is there anything left?
Actually, there is a little bit left. Yeah, we're still going through it. I believe it's still available here at the winery as well. But yeah, snap it up because it is delicious and it's gonna be tasting beautifully for a while. It's still got a great structure and some acidity, so it should age really well.
I was wondering about that, about the cellar ability.
Yeah, I would. I'm still tasting some of our wines from the first vintage that I produced here at Monte Creek was from 2015 from the same vineyard. And that was a really hot vintage, which didn't lend itself as well to aging, and they're still drinking beautifully. So I would say the 2019 would have even more length than that.
Was that your Karamias vineyard?
This wine is actually from Naramata, so it's going to be very similar to our 2020 Ancient
Yeah,
Waters, which is going
okay.
to be all Thompson Valley fruit, just in that they're on silty calcareous soils. So it does share some similarities.
All right, so and the price point. Did I tell you I was going to ask you about price points?
Yeah, it depends on the liquor stores, obviously, but that's going to be ringing in around $27 usually.
Okay, fine. That's a 2019 Ancient Waters Chardonnay. One more time on that label. Just show them it because they got to go find it. And you have to look for the next one that comes along. That one right there. Okay. Monte Creek. Look at that new logo. All right. The 2020 Living Land Riesling. Did your marketing team deliver that Riesling?
Yes, they did. Yeah, I've got the Riesling here.
There's that new label. It's the logo's there. It's a little. It's subtle.
It is. It's got a bit of an emboss, so you get a little texture if you've got the bottle in your hand.
And Living Land is a great hook because it's not just about who made it or the terroir. We're dealing with ancient soils and like, for example, in the Similkameen, you look at that valley and you think nothing is going to grow in that valley. That's just shale that's come down from the mountain over time. But if you can get into it, if you can dig it and not break all of your equipment, it gives you great reward.
It's amazing. I mean, that Karamias property that we have, we've got these five very distinctive soil types, and some of the fruit from that vineyard was going into this wine, and then the vineyard right next door to our vineyard down there is the remainder, and it is incredible. I mean, it's such a rocky area, and some blocks are a little bit easier to plant than others, and others we're just breaking equipment as we're going along, and usually you kind of expect you're going to get a decent crop in your third year after planting. You'll get a little bit of fruit coming out of it, but some of those blocks, they are just not producing even after that third year because the vines just take so long to get established. It actually reminds me a little bit of working in Martinborough in New Zealand, where the winemaker told me sometimes it's 7 years before they get fruit after they plant, which just was mind-boggling to me at the time. But you kind of understand it now when there's just no topsoil to be had there. The vines just they really takes a while to get established, but once they do, the quality is just fantastic.
Did you have fun in Martinborough?
Oh, it's a blast. I mean, you're working 70 hours a week, but somehow you still find a way to get out and taste
Yeah,
some wines.
exactly that. I think it's part of the union card. So the Living Land Riesling, I wrote down $21.99, but that was off the website.
No, I don't believe so. I believe it still is at $21.99.
That's a bargain. That's a bargain.
Yeah.
Right there. Right there. The 2020 Living Land Pinot Noir. I didn't just sip it. I inhaled it. It's so yummy. The Living Land Pinot Noir, $24.99 is the price that I wrote down. I can be corrected. You're going to have to look around a bit. It's in Yale Town at Swirl. It's at Metro Town in Tawasin. It's not in market as yet. When do you expect it might show up?
Is in a couple select places. Now, don't quote me exactly right now, but you can always email the winery to find out exactly where it's going to be. But it was very limited production, so it
Okay.
is going to be a tough one to find. We did about 130 cases total.
Those are
So,
the ones that people want to know about. The tough ones to find. Yes.
no, exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, Pinot again. Pinot, Riesling, Chardonnay, the three wines we're talking about today. Those are sort of the core of our brand. That's what we've got planted here in the South Thompson. That's what we've got planted down in Karamias as well. And
Wow.
that's definitely where we see ourselves being positioned moving forward.
Sustainability. First of all, that was one of the key factors in the success of the New Zealand wine industry. They were committed to it. Took them quite a while to get there, but they're almost totally sustainable. Same thing here. I know that you are. Do you see other efforts around you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think the Thompson Valley in general, I think that's something that we can sort of, you know, that's a way that we can make a name for ourselves. And beyond just being a different region, which I think people appreciate and are looking for, I think you still want to have something that people can say, oh, this is what Thompson Valley is about. And we're transitioning to organic. Harpers Trail is doing the same. And it just feels like there's a bunch of like-minded people up here that really do value sustainability just for the sake of sustainability, as opposed to just making a bit of a marketing thing or greenwashing. And so we're trending in that direction. And I hope that moving forward, that that's when people think Thompson Valley, that's what they're going to think of.
Any surprises for us this year? You want to tease something?
We've just bottled our 2020 Cabernet Franc back in February, so it probably won't be released until wintertime, but it is amazing. I mean, the beauty of the 2020 vintage was we did have fairly moderate sugar ripening, but we got beautiful phenolic ripeness. So what you get is these really elegant, slightly lower alcohol reds that the tannins are just amazing, and there's a lot of finesse to them. So I'm excited for that one.
What are you making your rosé from?
We've done two. We've done one, which is our Living Land series, has usually been from Marquette. And then last year, we also did our Ancient Water series, Outer Cabernet Franc. And we won't do that every year. I think sometimes that Sagnier method, it really has to be in the right vintages. But the 2020 was perfect for
Any more bubble?
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll continue to do both our sparkling and our sparkling rosé. We just finished up secondary fermentation on both those for the 2021s. And so they'll just sit on lees for a few more months. We'll be bottling those up in June.
Okay, just swing to your right again. Be the television presenter that you started out. And there, look at that. Tanks down one. What do you got in there?
Yeah, so you can see just where the light's streaming in there. So that's from our crush pad, and so everything will be loaded, gravity flow into the tanks that you see there, and we're still continuing to move in a few more of those, and then from there we can transfer down to our tanks on the lower level for settling and barrel down the whole way without using a pump at any point. So super gentle on the fruit
Now,
and just. And,
was that in play this year for Crush?
It wasn't, and interestingly enough, we kind of we thought we might need that space. Of course, with supply chain issues that everyone's feeling, we didn't quite have the space ready. But it was such a challenging year, anyways. Everyone's crops were way down just due to that June heat wave last year. So we
Sure.
didn't end up needing it. We were able to squeeze it into the old facility last year, but just barely.
Okay, I know you're the winemaker and not the marketing manager, but you're open now. Your tasting room is open. What else is going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, tasting room is open 7 days a week, and then our restaurant's going to be up and running probably around May long weekend. So we encourage people to come on out. Weather, obviously, we go from winter to summer and get about a week of spring in between here in Kamloops. So it's going to be getting warm in no time up here. So we're excited, and we want people to come check it out. Come check out the new facility, and we've got a big new space, which is a beautiful greenhouse, which we're using as an event space. So yeah, we encourage people to come check it out, and if they're planning any events, then absolutely come up.
Well, thank you for doing this. This is really cool. I'll see you at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. I'll try to get to the Okanagan, but yeah, I can't be two places at once. And because now everybody's starting to pour on the coast, they're starting to pour in Victoria, and it's getting crazy busy. But I don't want to hear anybody complain that they can't travel somewhere or they're locked down. You have an opportunity, if we behave ourselves, to make this the best year in a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Terry.
Thank you, man. The website is on our website, but you might want to tell them what it is.
MonteyCreekWinery.com. That's MONTE CreekWinery.com.
Piece of cake. Thank you.
Thank you.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Just a word about Michaela Morris's writing in Decanter Magazine. She called British Columbia's Syrah Canada's rising star and included her top 15 BC Syrah wines to try, including Moon Cursor Syrah 2019 at 90 points. Moon Cursor are delighted to let you know that the tasting room reopens April the 20th. Details at mooncursor.com. Welcome back. This is the Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. These next two segments took place late November in 2019, just before the pandemic struck. And it was a great idea. It was all of the wineries under the Mission Hill umbrella in one room, the room being, of course, the Science World, downtown Vancouver, the big snow cone. And it was all of the winemakers talking about the science of wine. And it was a great room. And I worked it around, and I found three people who are still in the jobs that they were in when I talked to them a couple of years ago. Phil McGann from Checkmate Wines, great wines, and Taylor Whalen from Cedar Creek, wonderful winemaker, and Shane Munn at the incredible world-class property right beside Cedar Creek called Martin's Lane. Here are these conversations. I hope you enjoy. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Jason Parks Customs is a ragtag group of wineries, a cider house, and a brewery calling West Cullen a home. They are The Hatch, Black Sweat Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, Cider House, Smoke Show by JPC, and now open, The Hatching Post, the only brewery and smokery parlor on the West. Just got word that Proper Man will be playing in and around The Hatch Complex this weekend. Don't miss these guys. You can find all the details at jpcfanclub.com. The headline is called Uncorked, a Celebration of the Science of Wine, and it's at Science World in Vancouver, which makes perfect sense. I can't remember an event like this happening in a building like this before, but let's just ask Phil McGann and Taylor Whalen about the science of wine. If anybody's going to be interested in the science of wine, it'll be winemakers, viticulturalists, people working the field. But how much so does science play into all of this?
Science is a big part of it. It's to me, it's around 50% of winemaking. There's the science and then there's the art. So for me, the science is really knowing the parameters of how to make the wine, what you to prevent wine from spoiling, to get the best out of the vines. It's many faceted, really. It starts in the vineyard, comes all the way through the winemaking, even through to bottling, and also into aging. So
it's a singular experience? I mean, there's not an audience for it. It's you and the science.
Yeah, absolutely. Very singular to the winemaker, and each winemaker has a different philosophy. Taylor, you may have a different approach to me, but I choose to know a lot of the science and then not necessarily follow it in some ways, in the way we make the wine, knowing that we're taking a risk, but knowing that if I set up the parameters for the wine, we don't have to worry.
Give me an example.
It's kind of just making a picking decisions based on, say, what you're projecting, what the pH will be of your wine, and just the pH will naturally dictate what spoilage bacteria may or may not grow in your wine. So the lower your pH, the more sound your wine is against spoilage.
When you were a young winemaker, wannabe, were you interested in that stuff, or did you want to get out in the field and just grow fruit?
Early on, I was more into the science, I think, as I was doing the degree. But as I've got away from the technical side and through experience in winemaking now, I've been doing it for about 18 years now. So you get exposed to different things, to different techniques, and it's some of the techniques I was exposed to that kind of changed my focus from simply the scientific and making sure the wine's pristine and filtered and all those kind of steps and stable, to making a more wines that are more less intervention, and knowing that there's a risk, but if you do your work well in the cellar, the wine will be fine. Yeah.
Taylor, same science over at Cedar Creek?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of personal philosophy, I think I agree with Phil quite a bit. Like, it's very helpful to have a scientific framework that can inform your decision making, but once you're comfortable enough with a lot of those processes and parameters, then you can kind of spread your wings and start to move away from just relying on chemistry, numbers, that kind of thing.
Are you talking about gut instinct?
A little bit of gut instinct, yeah. Experience. Phil's right. You do, to be experimental and consistent, you have to use science so that you're setting yourself up properly for a high-quality product every year. But after you've got that foundation, you can kind of move away from it a little bit and use a bit of gut instinct. So
that gives you the opportunity to experiment with different styles, different techniques, and just gives you confidence, essentially, as a winemaker.
Talking with Taylor Whalen from Cedar Creek Estate Winery, and from Checkmate, Philip McGann. This is the Science of Wine at Science World. Okay, let's talk about this growing year. It was a challenge. Did science play into this? I mean, I know nature did.
Yeah, science definitely played into it. I mean, all of our vineyards are in the process of going organic. And so the vineyard guys were challenged this year in the south because they're using a whole new set of kind of management techniques and products that they'd never really used on the scale they were using before. But they actually ended up doing a really good job. Some of it's science. A lot of it's just hard work and paying attention.
Sure.
And it's the same in the winery. Like, you can know all the science you know, but there's nothing that substitutes for spending 14 hours on a sorting line and just getting clean fruit, you know? So,
Yeah, I'd agree. I think for me, the science played a big part out in the vineyard and really getting out there and really spending time and getting the numbers, the analysis that we needed from the fruit samples, but also going out there and seeing what disease pressures there were and the damage that we had. Everything thrown at us this year. We had extreme heat, we had rain, we had early cold incidents, and also just, you know, a lot of the white varieties just sucked up the water when we had the rain in early September. That pushes the berries out, that creates a big botrytis threat. So we had to deal with things like that, but the science comes into play. But also, when you've had experience with dealing with that before, you just know how to deal with it, right? You bring the fruit in a bit earlier than you would. You're not going to hang it in that situation. Really, at the end of the day, you want the clean fruit in the winery, and then you don't have to worry so much. You have to worry about science more when there's problems, I think.
Exactly. And when
it's good. The objective is to get the wine into the winery clean, the fruit, sorry, and then you can deal with it. Yeah.
Because of organics, does science play a larger role, do you think?
Yeah, I think so, because your toolkit in terms of what you can add is more limited. Yeah. So if you have a firmer understanding of natural processes and of chemistry, then you can use those basic foundations to your advantage rather than just relying on adding something at a later date.
Talking with Taylor Whalen from Cedar Creek Estate Winery and from Checkmate, Philip McGann. This is the Science of Wine at Science World, believe it or not. Here's the deal. There's going to be, I don't know how many people come in. This place is sold. It'll be jammed, right?
1,350.
Okay, 1,350. How many of those 1,350 will care what science made the wine as long as the wine, when they pour it, is absolutely fantastic? Do they give it a thought?
I think it'll be a curiosity for them. It may spark that side of it in their mind, okay, rather than and bring it to the fore. Whereas I think the average consumer, unless they're really passionate about wine and really investigate and read a lot about it, probably doesn't delve that deep. But tonight we'll give them a good inkling of different aspects of not just winemaking, but also wine growing. So I think that will really spark an interest for a lot of people. I think it'll be a great first experience into that, the science of wine, for a lot of people. And for people who are already into the science of wine, it'll probably reinforce that.
You can only get so much from the label. Right, and we won't know the whole of the science. We'll know the blends and whatever. But so you either trust the people making the wines or you don't, and you earn that trust.
Yeah, I mean, I think people earn the trust by tasting the wines, I would hope, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, like Phil said, even if people can just take a kernel away from tonight of understanding
that
it's art and science and creativity and botany and climatology that all feed into it. And they can think about it later. They're not going to walk away as masters, but just a little kernel will be enough.
But and also luck plays into it, too.
Luck plays into it. Yeah, but, you know.
You also there, make your own luck, I
there's
think.
An old yeah. saying. Yeah, that's right.
You make your own luck through hard work.
That's true. From Checkmate, Philip McGann. And from Cedar Creek, Taylor Whalen. This is the Science of Wine at Science World, believe it or not.
Yeah.
All right, what are you pouring tonight from Cedar Creek?
Cedar Creek, we have our Estate Sauvignon Blanc. We have Platinum Riesling. Estate Pinot Noir and Platinum Syrah.
What are you pouring?
And we're pouring two Chardonnays, our 2015 Attack, which is done in a larger oval cask, Gourfoudre. And then we're also doing our 2015 Fool's Mate Chardonnay, which is our larger blend with components from each of our single vineyard sites. And a small amount of concrete in there as well as the barrel fermentation portion. Then we're doing two Merlots. We're doing Silent Bishop Merlot from 2014 and Opening Gambit Merlot.
Opening Gambit.
From 2014, yeah.
And thank you for keeping the Merlot flame alive.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's been a lot of fun to do.
From Checkmate, Philip McGann. Good. And from Cedar Creek, Taylor Whalen. This is the Science of Wine. Who's doing this? You're both doing seminars?
Yeah, we're doing one together. And ours is actually on the science of vessels and aging in different vessels, fermentation and aging. So Taylor's going to cover off the fermentation portion and the impact that has on different wines, and I'll cover off the aging and how that impacts different wines.
What are you going to tell them?
Well, we've got some wines to try.
What do you want them to take away?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's about choice, you know? You start with a raw product, and from the very beginning you have to decide, all right, am I going to use an oak barrel or a stainless barrel, or a concrete egg or a stainless steel tank? So we're hoping for people to get an appreciation of what those different vessels can impart at fermentation and at aging, like Phil said.
And what will you be saying, Phil?
I think I'll enjoy when people have the opportunity to smell oak, brand new oak. And that's my first big memory of working in a winery, is the opportunity to smell oak for the first time.
Yeah.
And it really is a great thing for a consumer to be able to come in and do that. We'll have a brand new barrel there they can smell, and we'll also have the concrete egg and stainless steel barrel as well. So they can kind of look inside, smell these things, and kind of then through what we're tasting with them, see what they impart into the wine.
Can we? Will you also touch on finally the last part of the aging process, which is aging in the bottle? You know, many times that white that we buy is 17 minutes aged, and then it comes out of the car and is consumed. So I know one respender for one has been trying to tell people, and Curtis Gold, age your white if they've got it, if they've got the jump. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's wines that are meant to be aged and wines that are not. Yeah. But if you get wines that are meant to be aged, they'll benefit immensely from proper aging conditions.
It's a great payoff.
That's right. As long as you've got a good place to store them, you're not above your refrigerator or living beside a railway track, you can put them in a cool cupboard somewhere. That's
not
great.
Next to the furnace.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much the same. From our perspective, our wines are designed to be aged. So I think a lot of our consumers actually do age the wines. Frustratingly so at times. I would say drink them and come back at times. But the great thing is now as our customers are starting to drink the wines, they are coming back and they're seeing the benefit of 4 or 5 years even more in bottles. So.
Thank you both. Pretty thank posh you. Digs here. This is not the cellar. This is pretty cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talking with Taylor Whalen from Cedar Creek Estate Winery and from Checkmate, Philip McGann. This is the Science of Wine at Science World, believe it or not.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Jason Parks Customs is a ragtag group of wineries, a cider house, and a brewery calling West Kelowna home. They are The Hatch, Black Sweat Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59 Cider House, Smoke Show by JPC, and now open, The Hatching Post, the only brewery and smokery parlor on the West. Just got word that Proper Man will be playing in and around the Hatch Complex this weekend. Don't miss these guys. You can find all the details at jpcfanclub.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's some info you can use if you're planning to visit our friends at Unsworth. The tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the wonderful Unsworth restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.
Shane Munn from Martin's Lane, who is the winemaker, has joined us for the first time on Tasting Room Radio. Can you remember in your wine background ever being in a place like Science World and pouring wine and talking about the science of wine?
No, never. No, and it's one of those things, I think, kind of part of the blend about tonight is that sort of showing there is a very scientific side to winemaking, but I'd say we're one of the wineries here that I think kind of sways more to the artistic side of doing nothing when it comes to making our wines. But
how much do you rely on science?
It's always in the back of your mind. You know, we move all our wines and grapes and juice by gravity, so there's science there. You know, yeah. It's physics, and so like everything has a scientific, basis to it. So yeah,
but it's more an art form, which I believe.
Yeah, I mean wine. Yeah, I mean if you look at what the French don't have a turn for winemaker, but you know if the grapes arrive on the crush bed and. The winemaker doesn't make some sort of decisions, then they'll still be there 6 months later. So every decision has to sort of be justified, whether it's doing as little as possible or really interventionist to make the wine have a particular character. So,
are you doing any of the seminars?
No.
Okay.
No, they don't trust me to do that sort of thing. Too outspoken.
Well, that's what it needs. Yeah. One of them is the art of blending.
Yes.
Now, that is the science of blending and the art of blending. That is an art form, yeah?
Yeah, I believe so. But, I mean, at Martin's Lane, we produce just two varieties, Riesling and Pinot. And I'd say Pinot of the red varieties is one of the ones that really probably relies less on blending and more on expressing its site and its place and its vintage not through blending. So,
Who shaped what Martin's Lane was going to be?
I guess initially it was, you know, it's a homage to Anthony's father, his late father Martin, and that sort of thing. But he had this vision of making world-class Pinot Noir and Riesling, and assembled a team of consultants and architects from around the world to build a you know, one of the world's most modern wineries. I kind of got inserted late into the piece to help make the wines, and you know, just like all the winemakers in our company, we get complete autonomy to do what we want. So, in essence, I'm sort of shaping the wines and the direction they take. You know, whether we use whole bunches in Alpino or fully destem it, that's a decision that really guides the style to a degree. But I'm working really closely with Kurt, our viticulturist, and isolating and identifying really unique parcels of grapes, because all our wines are single vineyard wines at the bare minimum. Some of them are single block wines. So it's that sort of having that vision, I think, and having this view that what you're putting into bottle is giving you something that's more unique than every other bottling.
Shane Munn from Martin's Lane, who is the winemaker, has joined us for the first time on Tasting Room Radio. Tell us about the Riesling you're pouring.
The Riesling we make is distinctly inspired by the greatest old world styles, Austria, Germany, Alsace. It gets significant skin contact pre-fermentation, so the wines are more based on richness and texture and mouthfeel rather than delicate aromas. So
meant to bottle age?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, that skin contact will impart something that's quite profound in the juice. They're not fruity wines. I don't like fruity wines. I like wines that are kind of interesting and ethereal and feel nice rather than smell great.
And the Pinot?
The Pinot is probably even more diverse than the Rieslings. We farm four vineyards in the North Okanagan. They're incredibly diverse, probably more diverse than any other Pinot vineyards I've seen in a similar small spread of.
And then you blend all four?
No, they're all kept separate. So every parcel of grapes we bring in is kept separate the whole way through the winemaking process, and we envisage as potentially being bottled as a wine. So
do you make them singularly, or do you blend those four together?
Two of the wines are essentially blends of parcels within vineyards. Others are single blocks as well as single vineyard wines. So they're quite unique from that perspective. So we are trying to sum up a whole vineyard, really. So
any surprises for 2020?
Every year is going to be exciting about which new vintage we release and that sort of stuff. We launched with three Pinots. The next 2 years we've made four. In 2017 we've made five. So come back in 10 years' time we could have 10. So it's like that's the fun thing. It's making as many unique expressions of wine as possible, really. So it's fun.
You're going to have fun tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It cleaned you up nicely too.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's still got the kind of the vintage hands. Vintage only, they're a bit rough. They're a bit leathery at the moment. So,
but it's behind you now.
Yeah, but it's a great vintage. Every vintage we've had has actually been a great vintage, and we've had six vintages in the new building, and six incredibly diverse vintages as well. And that's the fun part of my job.
Thank you. I'll come pay a visit.
Yeah.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, thanks. Nice to meet you.
If you haven't tried them, you should try Martin's Lane. Martin's Lane Winery, the winemaker, Shane Munn, in conversation, Tasting Room Radio at Science World.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's some info you can use if you're planning to visit our friends at Unsworth. The Tasting Room is open Wednesday to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the wonderful Unsworth Restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.